Welcome to season two of Mrs. Impossible. It's Cindy here, your personal coach, and some other things too. Lots of other things I've done with my life. Welcome to season two. All right, I'm ready. In this episode, we have a few segments coming, and like last season, we will definitely keep that swiping with Cindy. I will be swiping. I'm still single. No, that was a laughter to a cry. No, you know what? It's so much better. I keep saying so much better to be single than to be lonely in a relationship. And these days, we don't have that requirement where we have to marry someone. We're given so many gifts and technology to survive alone and happily. Okay, so, but I wouldn't mind a partner. Okay, way more than that. I'll talk about that later. Okay, so the segments, swiping with Cindy, not in any particular order. I'm going to do these segments in whatever order I want, but I know we're going to do swiping with Cindy. We're going to have fresh pick thoughts. I'm going to throw in, possibly, it might only last like 10 seconds, but a segment I'm going to call Schmangxiety. And then definitely the impossible mission. Okay, there we go. All right, fresh pick thoughts. Here we go. Fresh pick. This segment is supposed to be me just talking about whatever comes to mind, not planned. Okay, so it's an almost fresh pick thought. It's like a 95% fresh pick thought because I only thought of the subject that I want to talk about, and I didn't think of anything else. So here's a fresh picked, semi-fresh picked thought. Like, I pulled it off the branch and I took a bite, but it's mostly fresh. Okay, here we go. You know, most of my episodes have been about dating and dating apps. Well, I thought, how helpful would this be to talk about? Well, maybe I could just use this episode to direct all the guys who write me on dating apps, but this will also, I think, help everyone who's listening who's single, or help the people who are not single help their single friends. I have been using the few years of dating app experience to understand what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right and what I need and what I want and the difference. And as you know, I am a credentialed coach with the International Coach Federation, and I have a coach. Every coach needs a coach. So life, business, career coaching, all in one. I call it personal coaching. And with my coach, I've been working on a goal of, well, I'll say it in simple terms, doing this dating thing right, but really for the goal of finding, okay, this is really vulnerable. I don't know how this is going to come out when you all hear this. And I can't believe I'm saying it to you guys, but I feel like it could really help some people. I have something called a boom list, that mix of things that make that moment go boom when you meet someone and that make that person a real long-term powerful partner potential. So what I am working on with my coach is working towards putting myself in context to find that boom list partner. So someone who ticks all the booms on my list, right? And this isn't even superficial stuff. This isn't even like a ginger. You guys have always got me in trouble. I don't even know if I want any more gingers. So it's not superficial stuff like the hair color, but it's lifestyle and meaningful things. So I'm going to introduce the boom list to you. I dated a guy and I said, you know, there's something missing here and I need that. And he said, well, then send me the list of what you need. And in that moment I thought, oh, I should send him my boom list. And I haven't really told anyone about this other than my coach. My coach is the only one who knows this, but now everyone who listens to this podcast will know this. Okay. Well, and the second person to immediately know this other than myself and my coach is the gentleman recording me right now who's laughing. Okay. Oh, it's really nice having you here. It's really nice having like a face to respond to what I'm saying, because I did the whole entire other season alone in my flat. Okay. So the boom list, here we go. All right. So my boom list, I have different versions of it. So I talked out loud about what I need, I developed this with my personal coach. I came up with this list and I kind of changed the language a little bit here and there. So that's what I mean by different versions, but essentially it's the same stuff. So I'm going to find it right now. And I actually have a gallery in my phone called a vision board, and it has all of the things that I want in life right now. And they are starting to happen. It's magical. It's so magical to see the little bud coming through the soil. The little, you know how little plants start coming through the soil and you're like, look at the little green little leaf popping up. That stuff's happening with the stuff on my vision board. But one of the things is the boom list of my vision board. So I'm going into the gallery right now. Here it is. Here it is. Here's the boom list. Okay, ready for this? Ready, world? Okay, so... Look, not everyone's going to relate to this. You have to decide what things really make a partnership meaningful to you. And you know, this is obviously not for a one-night stand situation. If you want a one-night stand, you're going to have a different kind of boom list. It'll probably be mostly physical. But my boom list is not a physical thing. Okay, so number one, and this will freak half of you out, and it will make half of you, the other half of you go, yes, please, would I have anything less? And that's number one, daily communication, a genuine desire to communicate daily. And that's actually what the problem was with the particular guy I just told you about. He was, you know, he was a very busy guy, very structured. So he barely had time to, for himself. So to communicate was very difficult, but I need that. That's something I need. Look, if you're going to be gone half the week, then give me another boyfriend to fill in that half of the week, because there are guys who are available all week to message me at least once a day, please. So if you're going to disappear, I can't, I'm not built for that. So that's number one. Number two, okay, there are very few men who can do this for me. It's not sexual. It's purely emotional, and it's this protected safety feeling. And I don't think there's anything a man can do before he walks in the room that would change this. It's just something you bring into the room. A feeling of safety. And I bet it's probably some kind of collection of characteristics, like the way he looks at me, the way he moves, his body gestures, his tone of voice, what he says when he says something to me, his habits, his own temperament, all of these things probably combined make that safe feeling. Number three, being a man of his word. Right? So someone who says, I'm going to do XYZ, and then he does XYZ. And if he can't do XYZ, he calls me to let me know that he can't do XYZ. Okay? Okay. Number four, sexual attraction. Look, I'm not even limiting that to anything. I'm just saying I have to feel it. I have to feel a sexual attraction. As you know from the last season, I have tried being in relationships without sexual attraction, but guess what those are? Friendships. They're not romantic sexual relationships. If I want friendships, then I will go on a friendship dating app or find friends. And there are lots of choices when it comes to that. So that's not what I need. Only, I mean, it needs to be a part of it for sure. But friendship, but sexual attraction is an essential to it. So I need to feel that. Number five, here's a big one. And this has a lot to do with the reason why I'm still single. And that is a long-term vision for the future, a shared long-term vision for the future. That includes children. This is why I'm single. Because for me, it's just not for me to have biological children. It feels more natural to me if someone already has a child and I parent that child, or to not have any children at all. And I could go through that whole list of why. There's, you know, medical, biological, psychological reasons, all of that. But it's just not for me. I have a lot of love to give in different ways than to have a biological child. And that's part of having a shared future vision. A lot of guys I've met, it went amazingly, but they wanted biological children for sure at some point in the near future or future, and I didn't. So it would have been just a dead-end, short-term thing. It's just not for me. Transparency. Do I have to say anything else about that one? That's number six. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just getting the signal that it's 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes. First 10 minutes. That was 10 minutes. Oh, good. Okay. Good. Okay. All right. You can keep that in too. It doesn't matter. I like dialoguing with you, even though you're quiet. The quiet man in the corner. That's what I'll call him. Okay. Transparency was number six. Okay. Number seven. Okay. Oh, this is really, this is hard to say because I think there are a lot of people who are, I'll just say it. Number seven is someone who has never cheated. This is really hard for me to say because I don't want to make anyone who has cheated feel like, you know, the scarlet letter is imprinted on their chest forever. But it just, what I think about cheaters is that they're not bad people. It's that I think people who have an inclination for cheating are just kind of probably more on the kind of polyamorous side of things, where they have a natural inclination to want variety. And a cheater might be the very, very far end of the spectrum of polyamory, where they have like a little bit of a desire for multiple partners to some degree, or at least more than one. And I don't think of that person as bad or look down or make any form of judgment. I just don't feel comfortable with someone who has cheated in the past because, as many of you probably have seen, people who have that inclination once in their life tend to have it at least one more time. Least number eight. Okay, this one is probably better described as a subcategory of number four, which was sexual attraction, but I kind of have it as its own number at this point, and that's feeling lost in the kiss. I don't want to be thinking about the groceries while I'm kissing the guy. I don't want to be thinking, do I feel this while I am in the kiss? Because if I'm asking myself, do I feel it? I don't feel it. I will be gracious. I'll give it another chance if the first kiss isn't right. But all of these other factors need to be there too. Number nine, this one's a big one. Just had it last night. Just had this fallout last night. The guy was attractive. We seemed to have like complementary personalities, but the way we communicated, we just kept butting heads. He liked that we were a bit fiery, but it seemed like whenever he'd say something, I didn't understand it and I took it offensively. And when I say something, he took it offensively. So number nine is speaking my language and reciprocates my understanding of things. Like when we, you know, the way we say things, we just get it. You know, we have a certain premise of understanding the world, and I don't even know how much better to say this, but yeah, just having that reciprocity of understanding, of communicating. Number 10, what is number 10? Oh, yes. Oh, this one's good. I like who I am around him. That's what I'm looking to feel. I'm looking to like who I am around the person. You know, when certain people walk in the room, before you've even met them, you sense a certain gravity to their personality. Some people walk in and you feel light. Some people walk in and you feel a sense of heaviness. And there are multiple ways to describe that. But I just want to like who I am when they walk in the room. I want to like how my body physiologically responds. I want to like, you know, not to not be afraid of what I say, that it's going to offend them, and so I withhold, you know, or, and yes, that might be a personality flaw, but I, you know, I do want to be able to respect the person and feel good and peaceful in myself too. Okay, enough about that. Oh, and this one, I didn't put a number next to this one. This is like a sketched list of the boom list, okay? But this one is easy to schedule with, right? I think this is probably a subcategory of one of the others, probably. Maybe long-term vision or lifestyle. Maybe that should be bunched up with that one, but easy to schedule with. If you're not available, if I can only have one date with you once every week or two, then can you please find someone to fill up the other 4 to 6 days that I'm needing a partner? Again, yeah, I need to be able to schedule with you. I've met amazing guys, but they're flying out for 2 months or they're just not physically around. At least to get to know. Look, I'd be okay if you're flying out, if I've known you for 2 months and know that you're long-term material, but especially in the beginning, just at least in the beginning, you need to be able to be easy to schedule with so I can get to know if you're worth not seeing for 2 months. Okay, next one. Oh, well, this one again is a subcategory of one I already said, but I said on the same page with about kids. So that would be a subcategory of the long-term vision thing. So that's my fresh pick thoughts. Oh no, there's one more. There's one more on the list. I feel proud to walk with him no matter what. I love that feeling. I love that sense of pride that look at this guy who I'm walking with. He makes me feel great. And A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So whatever that list is, I just want to feel good that I'm walking with him. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical thing. It can just be that he makes me feel great. He makes me stand tall. That's my boom list, guys. And I wanted to share that as a fresh pick thought because it's so important. It's guiding my dating decisions right now. And you know what? I have dated many, 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 many men. I've met them, meaning that's what I mean by many, many, not boyfriend, girlfriend, not sleeping around, but just meeting them through these dating apps, having a drink or coffee. And there are guys who've come so close to this, so ridiculously close. And it's given me so much hope, so much hope. I feel like it's possible. It really is. So that's my Fresh Pick Thought segment. There is another segment that I forgot to say. I don't think I said it in the beginning, and I'm not going to ask the lovely gentleman who I'm trying to unname, so not name, so he doesn't feel like he has to be part of the podcast, but he's recording this for me. And I don't know if I said at the beginning, but there is another segment I want to call Cuddling with Crypto, because I love cryptocurrency. I'm so fascinated by it. And so I want to make that a part of this episode. I'm going to try not to talk for an hour about it. But you know, I think I'm going to, I could talk for hours about this. What am I going to do? All right. I'm going to try to keep it really short. Okay. Let's see if that's possible. On this is impossible. Cuddling with Crypto. Here we go. On December 26th. Well, back up. Prior to December 26th of 2020, I felt anxiety whenever I thought of digital currency. I thought I was missing out. I'd missed the boat. And I don't even understand what it technically is from a programmer's point of view. But I didn't even know what it meant in a layman's point of view. But fortunately, I did meet a guy on a dating app who was so lighthearted, and he made everything in the world seem so easy and understandable, including digital currency. So he actually turned me on to try it and to just jump into it. He's like, oh, look, here, this is all you do. Just put money into this app and then you pick your coins. How easy was that? Well, that started the addiction. So I started my cryptocurrency adventures on December 26th of 2020. My dad had given me a little gift, a little cash gift, and that was my first purchase. I even made the purchase exactly to the penny of what the currency exchange was from American dollars to Australian dollars, just to make that a special purchase from him. And luckily I did, because I picked some really good coins. Chainlink. You guys don't know, I bought it at $14. I bought a coin at $14, and now it's at $40. And we're in March. Hello. Actually, that happened way before March. So within a month, I had doubled the money, and I thought, wow, I'm doing this. It's legit. This works. So since then, I have been opening my crypto apps more than my dating apps, guys. I could probably do a whole series on just crypto. Now, I've gotten deeper into cryptocurrency so that I can distinguish long-term coins between short-term coins. So long-term trading, you know, buying it, forgetting about it for months, maybe years, versus buying and selling with the intention to sell within 1 or 2 weeks. Very much like dating, guys. Hello, we have a lot of guys. Tinder's like the short-term cryptocurrency investor, where you buy a couple coins hoping it just, you know, turns around in 24 hours. And then, then you have the guys who are like thinking long-term quality. You know, does this coin have a history of an upwards trend? And does it have a good story behind it? You know, very strong parallels to dating. Maybe that's why I'm so into it. But anyway, I've been checking my apps constantly. And now, when I first started, I was thinking long-term with the coins, with ones like Chainlink and Bitcoin and ETH. And now I'm looking at short-term quality coins for quick turnarounds. And I think it was, which one was it? Just Auction, AUCTION. It was a split from a previous coin. And I looked at it as a short term. I looked for the indicators. I'm using these fancy words, which just means, you know, evidence that it's going to go one way or the other. I used that information. I put in $1,000, and within 1 or 2 weeks, I made $700-something additional dollars. So I ended up with $1,700. Guys, this is real. It's actually happening. It can be really dangerous to do this, so you have to be safe. Whatever money you put into it, you have to be 100% sure that if you lose that money, you can still pay the rent, you can still pay the mortgage, you can still survive happily. If that's your mode of doing crypto, then you're going to be fine. Go for it. Have fun. But learn the charts. Learn what to look for in the charts. Whether it's short term or long term, you still have to know what to look for in the charts. So that's what I've been doing. I'm in love. I'm in the crypto groups on Facebook, and I'm commenting and I'm caring about the group. Oh, I could keep going. I actually have a friend that, oh, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I'm not naming him, so hopefully he won't mind. But I have a friend who actually had 500 grand in crypto, in non-Bitcoin. So they call non-Bitcoin coins altcoins, right? Alternative coins. He had 500 grand in altcoins in 2017, and he wanted to hit a million. But unfortunately, the whole market crashed then, and it went skyrocketed. What? No, the opposite of skyrocketing. It went down, and he lost that. So now he's back in the game, and he's learned a lot, and he's taught me a lot, to tell you the truth. And I'm very grateful for him. I'm going to call that the end of the segment because there's so much more I could say. I could be talking about individual coins. I could be talking about my friend and his story. But I'm going to keep it at that. Maybe the next time we do Cuddling with Crypto, I'll give you some key things to look for, because you know what? I think you're all going to end up being in crypto at some point, all of you. You're either going to have a friend who's doing it, or you're going to be doing it. That's the end of Cuddling with Crypto. Schmanxiety. Schmanxiety. That's, you know, like, I'm from New York, so, you know, we have a lot of, like, Jewish, Italian culture there, and a very Jewishy thing to do is to say, bacon schmaken, or like, you know, boy schmoys, you know, and you had the schm, you know, the sh at the end. It's like a Yiddish background, Yiddish thing. So that's what I've done with anxiety years ago. I thought, you know, one of the best things to do about anxiety is to just make fun of it and, you know, so, you know, lighten it, make it lighter. So I thought, oh, anxiety, schmanxiety. I was like, oh, wait, haha, that's really cool. Schmanxiety. I love that. And then you can almost say it's a mix of smashing anxiety, schmanxiety. Anyway, I'm making this segment schmanxiety because I found a way to reduce the percentage of anxiety in your life. Guaranteed it will reduce your percentage of anxiety. And of course, as a personal coach, I've written a book on personal coaching, but I have a few hundred tools probably to reduce your anxiety. But this one's a really cool one, and I'm going to give it to you right now. If you don't know this already, really, anxiety is something in your brain visualizing way too much of what you have to do, right? So in your head, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I have 20 things I have to do, and it is overwhelming my brain. It is, as they say here in Australia, throwing a spanner in the works. Is that the right phrase? Okay, he's nodding his head, yes. Okay, so spanner in the works. I don't think I'll ever have to actually say that. It would be so funny if I actually naturally ever said that phrase with this accent from America. Anyway, it's kind of like the machine of your brain will not work if there's a malfunction of 20 things at once telling it to perform. Like, you just can't do that. So I had a morning like that maybe a week or two ago, and I felt terrible anxiety. Like, I have way too many things to do, and it kept me in bed. And then this little compassionate voice in my heart said, what's one tiny thing you can do right now? Just think in this next moment, what one tiny little itty bitty thing, what's the smallest thing you can do that would make you feel good right now, right? So imagine that. Imagine you're full of anxiety, and then a little warm voice in your heart says, what's just one small thing you can do to progress yourself right, literally right now in the next 10 seconds? So I did that one little small thing. Ready for this? I threw the cover off of my body. That was the one small thing. And that felt good. It started this teeny weeny little movement of the anxiety off of me. And that felt good. And then that gave me enough motivation to throw one leg over the side of the bed. And what happened was these little tiny things began to build momentum and started to, the reward of accomplishing a small thing began to inflate and grow like a snowball. And I felt so good. I felt like I had conquered an army because eventually that snowball turned into me making progress, getting out of bed, having my beautiful, which my beautifully addictive green tea drink that I have in front of me right now, can't live without. And finally, my snowball was in full effect and I was motivated and getting to what I have to do. But that is really the secret to anxiety. And I bet if there were some kind of methodology formalized to treat everyone, I have a feeling this would be the core of it, is to, in those moments, to really look for what's the smallest thing I can do that would feel good right now. The smallest thing. That's the thing. It's got to be really small. It's got to be small enough for you to imagine it and imagine feeling good about it. So next time you have anxiety about what to do next, think of that. Remember that. Think, what's the very smallest thing I can do that would feel good right now, right? And then you look for that momentum. And I do believe that's how the brain works. I'm not a neurologist, but I would bet $1,000 that would be proven in a formal study. I'm so excited. Guys. You know what I'm working towards with my personal coach. You know, I mean, look, I work with her on a number of things. I make career and business decisions with her. But the main thing that I'm working with her is that dating thing. We are also working on a side related goal of my fitness and a 16-week fitness competition. She's helping me mentally plan and get through the things that I know I have to do. But you know, overall, men, dating, well, for right now, right? If I date enough, that might change, might not be men. I don't know. Look, I'm not gonna restrict myself. I'm never gonna say never. But men excite me now. They're beautiful, especially you Aussie men. Oh. So that being the case, I'm so excited to now start the segment Swiping with Cindy, where I'm going to swipe some beautiful Australian men and some men who are living here as residents and visitors. But you visitors with visas, I'm sorry, I can't date you because I already tried that. And then I cried when you left and you changed my life forever and I might still miss you. Okay, you know who you are. All right. All right, so I'm going to start swiping. Now, I don't know how y'all felt about what I do while I swipe, but I thought, should I swipe and do my commentary of why I swipe left or right in this episode? Or should I actually look at the profile and give some advice? Like, what would I advise this person do? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do both right now. I'm going to swipe. I'm going to pretend that this guy is coming to me for advice on how to fix his profile. And I'm also going to make my own decisions on whether this look fits what I want. Right? Okay, so here we go. Lucas. I've seen this guy before, definitely, in these apps. And sometimes I swipe the same guy so many times, I forget why I didn't swipe him right. And then I'll swipe him right, and then we'll message. I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why I forget it. Okay, so I'm not going to swipe right on this guy because I know I've seen him several times. And it, look, if I've seen him several times and I didn't, and it didn't work out, he's still showing up, then it's not, probably not going to work out again in the future. Let's not waste our time. But he does have a beautiful smile. Gorgeous smile. I would swipe right on this guy. He has a great smile. Problem is he doesn't have a full-length photo shot. He doesn't have a full-length shot. So he's hiding something or he, you know, I don't know. But he needs a full-length shot because I think people want to, you know, it isn't 100% of the time, that's for sure. And I've completely shocked myself in the past. But people do want to get an idea of how you look head to toe. Head to toe and recently. And this guy's not showing it, so that's a problem. But for his smile, I would swipe right. But I'm not going to because I've seen you before, Lucas. And it didn't work out. And also, you need some teeth whitening. I'm just seeing that now. Okay. Beautiful photos. But you need to, full length. Okay, next guy. Oh, I've totally seen this guy too. You guys know I've been on these apps for too long when this is happening twice in a row. okay, Miko is his name. Oh, Yay, Miko, you put your height on the profile. You're learning. See, I know he's been on here a long time. I've been on here a long time. I ask everyone's height. I will be transparent and say, for me, the perfect height is 6'1". And I'm 5'3". But I have been physically attracted to guys who are shorter. So I'm leaving myself open. It just happens to be 6'1", is a very commonly attractive height for me. This guy is 187 centimeters. I think that might be 6'2". But he's learned. He's put that there because he knows, he's been on here long enough to know that women need to know that. So men, put your height on the profile. It will save you time, tons of time. And once again, he does not have a full length. He's hiding something. And he looks really fit. Like, just, you could just see the body fat percentage and like muscular shape just from the shoulder shot, but he still didn't have a full length. Very nice smile. But yeah, no full length. I've seen him before, and if it didn't work out, I think I have swiped right with this guy before. Actually, I do remember, and it just didn't take off the conversation. So I'm going to swipe left on him. Bye, Miko. Oh no, this guy, next guy, has a cheesy smile. Oh, what is up with his beard? Look, oh my God, it looks like it was like it's fabric glued onto his face. Oh, this guy put his height though. He's 6 foot. He's 6 foot, just 1 inch under my perfect. He doesn't have a full length photo, guys. But here, you know what? I don't know. He has a very thick bushy beard, but it's not like a cool hippie bushy beard. Like, there's like a difference, right? This one doesn't look, there's just something unnatural about this, and I don't understand what I'm looking at. This is an uncomfortable smile. It looks like it's hurting him to smile a little bit, and that makes me feel uncomfortable. He also has fabric on the back of his car seat, like thick carpet looking fabric. Why? Like, I just, that doesn't make me want to go on a date with you and you pick me up and me sit on your carpet looking fabric car seat. That just does not make me feel good. And he has another very weird photo of himself. Only two photos, tightly cropped headshots, all of that. Okay. The pro is the 6 foot. He's put it on his profile, but I'm going to swipe left because there's not enough information here. And the information that I do have is unsettling. Next one. Just a picture of algae and then another picture of a kitchen. All right, left swipe. Oh, this is a guy with a Jason mask and a bat. And he has two pictures of that. That's one of those joke profiles. Okay, next one. Definitely not my type. He says in his description, just checking the site out, say hi, see where it goes. Yeah, not into that. Definitely, his pictures are blurry, but he does have a full length, so I'll give him that. It's blurry, full length. His style is not my style. There's something missing there that I just doesn't do it for me. The clothing style, the way he is postured. And he has, again, one of those painful smiles where it doesn't look like he actually wants to smile, but he's just smiling for the photo. And as you know from the last one, it just makes me a little uncomfortable. So I'm going to swipe left. Oh, we got someone nice. Oh, but I've definitely swiped right on this one before. Are you guys tired of me saying that? This is really horrible. I will admit, before I came here to record this episode, I did have a swiping frenzy. I did. I got it out of my system before I came here. So there were lots of new guys. I didn't have this many guys that I've seen before all at once. I think Tinder is saying to me, okay, you've had enough. We're just going to give you the same guys now. but I did have a huge frenzy before I came here, and it was like 20 minutes of just like swiping. And by the way, I made a whole episode about how I was blocked on Tinder. And this was, I don't know what episode that was, maybe like season one, episode 5-ish or something like that. And so I ended up going on Plenty of Fish or one of these others. But I'm back on Tinder. And I'm very happy to be back on Tinder, but I'm only happy to be back because I have refined my strategy. And before I came back, me and my personal coach, I worked with her on a description that would cut out more of the unnecessary guys, the guys who really don't tick my boom list. And I wanted to make sure that I really repulsed them and really attracted the guys who would be more likely to be what I'm looking for. And it's been working. It's been working. I've been really repelling a lot. I've not been wasting a lot of time. It's been wonderful. Anyway, so I'm back on Tinder and I'm loving it. With this kind of filtered way of doing things. So here we are, back to this guy who is he's definitely someone I've seen before. And he has a full length. He has two full lengths. And one of my long-term visions and values of life, which I did not get into detail with other than children when I was telling you about my boom list, one of those long-term visions of values is health and fitness. And this guy, in his photos, he makes it clear that he's into that. I love that. Cheers to you, B. His name is B on the app. But cheers to you for making it really obvious what your lifestyle is. And some people actually do that very well, and some people don't, and he has. But again, yeah, I think I matched them before. So he's going to get a left swipe, but good job. Oh, he should have put... Oh, no. I remember this guy. Oh, no. Wait, I did. I had a video chat with him. Oh, ready for this one? He's from California, so he has an American accent, which is not a turn on, to put it nicely, for me anymore, because I've been here in Australia for 7 years and I have fallen in love with the Australian accent and British accent, Scottish, there's a lot of that, and Irish around here. But the American accent, I don't know why, but it's just, when it comes to a romantic relationship, it just doesn't do it for me. So I had a chat with this guy, and it turned out not only did he have the American accent, which isn't a deal breaker. It isn't a deal breaker because I could fall for the guy and look, deal with the accent. But what was the deal breaker is that he had a young child and he still felt obligated, which, you know, I understand, it's just not for me, to go to the ex's house to take care of the child with the ex in the house. Hello? Are half of you going, whew, yeah, good thing you got out of that. And the other half of you going, yeah, I understand the dude, you know, I understand. It was a young child, I understand that. But spending time with the ex in the house is, you know, you're going to have to find someone who really is in the same situation or is super compassionate to be able to agree with that, with your, you know, one foot still in the family unit that you have left. I couldn't do that. But the guy was very nice. Okay. All right, B, I'm moving on. All right, I think I'm going to call it an end to Swiping with Cindy because we're running out of time. All right, so in every episode, I've been talking about... Oh, no, not every episode. I think I grew tired and complacent about the whole editing process of my last season, and so by the end of it, I think I might have even pulled the Impossible Mission segment from my podcast. But now that I have help in putting my podcast together, I can throw it back in because I'm not exhausted anymore from the whole editing and compiling process. Thank you. So now I could throw the Impossible Mission segment back in, which should be in here, right? But no shoulds allowed in here. All right. Don't should on me is a great term to say to anyone, anywhere. Don't should on me, you know, when you say it quickly, what it sounds like. Can't is also a word that I absolutely hate, which is why I am Mrs. Impossible. I don't accept the word can't, C-A-N-T, not even with myself, which actually makes life pretty hard because when I say to myself that I can't do something, I put pressure on myself sometimes. Well, then, you know, then what will you do? But that just the remedy for that is simply compassion. That's really the remedy. And whenever someone says they can't, really they mean something is not worth my effort or it's not worth, and that could be completely reasonable and fair. But the word can't hides things. It hides the truth behind the situation. So that's why I hate the word can't. It really means I won't because XYZ. And that's what I want to really get to whenever I say can't or whenever I hear someone say that they can't. Sometimes we're so in a rush, we just have to say what's quick and easy. And that's probably why we all say it. But let's get a little deeper into the word, that four-letter word, can't, which is almost a worse four-letter word than its very close word that Australians seem to say a lot. That sounds like can't with a different vowel in the second place of the word. Anyway, I don't say that word. Although, you know, autocorrect keeps correcting. Like, my full name is Cynthia. My name is Cindy. Every time I try to... Every time I try to type Cynthia on my phone, it autocorrects to Cynthia. Like, I don't know what. And it's just, it makes me laugh. And it's ridiculous. I wish Siri would just learn how to spell my name. Maybe it's because it's an Australian phone. You know, I got it in Australia. Maybe that's why it keeps calling me that. Anyway, so can't. Yes. Now you know. When you say you can't, when someone says they can't, there's more to that story that will tell you something about their desires and what they find worthy, what projects and priorities they're working on in life, and why they will not that they can't, but they will not do XYZ. Humans have gone to the moon. I've said this before. Humans have gone to the moon. We can now genetically do things that we thought only God could do, okay? So don't tell me you can't. Tell me it's not what you're focused on in life right now, so you will not be spending your time in that, or maybe in the future, something like that. Okay, so Mrs. Impossible, that's me. Hello. And that's the show. So I figured now that this segment is back in, I'll talk to you about the impossible missions that I am working on. That's what this segment will be right now. And I already introduced that to you. I told you what I'm working on. Long term, I have a long term goal with my coach to work on that boom list partner. And as I said, dear God, I would rather live the life that I'm living right now, which is pretty great, guys. And I'd rather continue living this life as a single person and want that partner than to be in a relationship with anything less. And look, to feel that safety feeling, to feel those things that I've already listed to you guys, it may not exist. But I've come very close to it, close enough that I can be hopeful that it's out there. And you know what? Maybe even I would, I almost want to say this. Depending on the definition and depending on the detail, I would almost negotiate perhaps one or two of those things, like the daily communication. Of course, I would negotiate that in the right situation when I could trust that person. But it's just that getting to that point, that boom list is just really important, at least, again, for that beginning part of getting to know someone cold, you know, someone you've never met before. All right, so I'm working on that with my coach. But as part of the steps moving toward that, or, you know, doing for myself the things that will prepare me for that, one of those things that I'm working on with her is my 16-week body transformation competition. So it's an online competition, and there is a huge cash prize and lots of people regionally competing. And although I haven't set in my heart to win it, I have set in my heart to see a change in my body. And I have. The problem was, I did not understand how calories work. I did not understand at the beginning of this what to quantitatively aim for. I did not want to aim for a certain weight because weight does not matter. Weight does not matter. When will people understand this? It actually takes an education to understand this. Because the reason why I say weight doesn't matter is because, at least at certain weights, your muscle, if you're working out and you're building muscle in the gym, you could actually gain weight, and it could be a wonderful, amazing thing to gain weight if you are building muscle and doing any activity. If you are building muscle, if you're doing activity that builds muscle, you want to gain weight. So why would you want to check if you've lost weight? I rejoice if I gain weight after being in the gym for a few weeks because it means that My muscles have grown and increased in mass. And you know what else that means? That means probably my booty looks better. It probably means also that my metabolism is higher. Well, yes, it does mean that, because it does increase your metabolism when you have more muscle. So not only are you sexier and stronger and have a higher metabolism, but you weigh more when you have more muscle. So I didn't know at the beginning of this 16-week body transformation contest what I should be aiming for. Like, what number do I aim for? So I went on the internet and I looked at pictures, just pictures from Google Photos, not even a reliable source. I just thought, what is, you know, I remember being a certain percentage body fat a few years ago, and it was like 25%. And so I had some gauge of what 25% body fat looks like. So I went to the Google Photos and thought, maybe 14% body fat would be a good thing to aim for. So that's what I was aiming for 8 weeks. And it was giving me anxiety like crazy. I had no idea what I was aiming for until I finally sat down with the owner of a gym at a breaking point. After getting my first scan, I didn't even measure what my body fat percentage was at the beginning of the competition. It wasn't until the 7th week that I broke down and thought, I don't even know what I'm aiming for. So I went to get one of those body scans that tell you the in-depth numbers of your, you know, your body fat and your muscle mass and your lean muscle. And when I got the results, my face dropped. I had my head in my hands at the gym, and the owner of the gym compassionately, so beautifully, came over to me and said, "Do you need help?" I was like, "Yes, please look at these numbers and tell me, what am I doing wrong?" And he said, "You know, what you're aiming for is to get what you're aiming for, you would have to be in the gym 3 hours a day, 5 days a week." Right now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm still processing what he said, because I realized that I had just looked at what 14.5% looks on the internet on a photo in Google Photos and thought, sure, I'll aim for that. Not realizing how much ridiculous amounts of effort and energy would go into getting that percentage. So here I am. I am working on the impossible mission. I actually know that I can achieve that. Now that I have the measurement of what body fat percentage I am now, well, as of week 7, which was a week ago, now that I know what body fat percentage I am now, I know that I can do that. Technically, I can spend 3 hours in the gym if I cut out my social life completely and cut down on sleeping. I can do it. I can fit it in. See, I'm not saying it's impossible. I can do it with the remaining 7 or 8 weeks, but I don't want to. It's not that important to me to make that large of a sacrifice over 7 weeks, but I know that I can get to that 14.5 if I allow myself a year or 6 to 12 months, somewhere in there. I can actually get to it a different way if I wanted to. See, I just removed the impossible factor for myself, but Now I have to make a decision on what my percentage or what other measurable factor I'll be going for in these next 6 or 7 weeks of this competition. So I have to admit that I also have another factor that has screwed me up a little bit on this mission. And that is that I'm wearing this Whoop strap on my wrist to count how many calories I burn 24/7. And they have entered a certain resting metabolic rate for me, just to make it easy. They have the wrong number for me in their system, but it's making me work harder. And I'm hesitant to give them the right number because I like how I have been working harder. But in order for me to get the right numbers for this competition, I'm going to have to give them the right number. Anyway, so that's where I'm at with that. Okay. So that's my impossible mission. I don't know how much I love that idea of looking super sexy at 14.5%. I don't know if I love it enough to, I definitely don't love it enough to do it in 7 weeks and give up the rest of my life. So now I'm at a sort of, right now I'm just tracking the calories in and my calories out. And that's what I'm doing right now, every day, using a spreadsheet to record the food that I'm eating, which is, I know it sounds complex, but it's actually really easy. At the beginning it was hard, but now it's just a copy and paste job. So it's not very hard. But I've been just tracking the calories in and calories out. So in other words, what is my calorie deficit at the end of every day? What are all the calories that I've spent in the day doing things, which my Whoop strap tells me? And what are all the calories that I've consumed, which I tell me by plugging it into the spreadsheet? That's where I'm at. I'm looking at the numbers every day and thinking, okay, am I going to correct the data with the Whoop strap people and update it so that I know the actual number? Do I want the truth? Or do I want to lie to myself to work harder? Guys, I know, right? Do you relate to this, right? It's like pressing the snooze button, like setting the alarm for half an hour before, tricking yourself, thinking that, you know, I'm going to have a more pleasant sleep if I trick myself into thinking I have to wake up earlier and then I press the snooze button. You know, it's like we lie to ourselves just to make ourselves better or feel better temporarily. Anyway, so I don't know what I want now in this competition. I do know that I want a body transformation. I might be okay with minimal transformation now. Some of you might be asking, well, what is your body fat percentage now? You know, I just remember thinking how far it was from 14.5, and I don't remember if it was a 23. I think it was 23.5. Don't quote me. I can check if any of you really want to know. I can bring the paper with me next time. But it was something like 23.5. I have lost 5% in 8 weeks before in another competition that I did in 2017. So I know that I can easily go from 23.5 minus 5, which is actually halfway, roughly, towards my 14.5 goal. I could really do that in 8 weeks if I wanted to. But I don't have the desire. The desire is not strong enough. And I'm smart enough as a coach to know that your desire correlates with your results. If you really want it, you will get the results. If you don't want it, you will resist the results. You resist them because you're resisting the action that is required to get there. So that's where I'm at. And I do have to say, I'll make a little confession. I do have a segment of the show that I've done before a couple times called The Confession Booth, and I will make a confession. And the confession is, confession booth is always something that I forgive myself for. But this isn't really a true confession, because it really isn't something wrong, but it's kind of a fun fact. I've actually seen enough of a transformation in my body that I have looked in the mirror since this competition. You ready for this? Ready for this? Okay. So I've looked in the mirror and actually, do I tell you guys this? Do I tell you? I think I have to tell you. You know when you see someone hot at the beach and you're like, oof, like, oh, and you get a little bit, just a little bit, like, you know, you're 10% sexual being, right? We have 10 bodily systems, right? You have a reproductive system, you have a respiratory system, you have a endocrine system, right? Well, okay, so 10% of you is built to activate in certain situations. Well, my reproductive system was activated looking at myself in the mirror. It's another way of saying being turned on. I was like, whoa, Cindy, is that what you've done with yourself? How lovely. Is that narcissism? I hope not. It's really appreciation and shock at the results that I'm getting. And they aren't even tremendous or wonderful, but they're visual and they're different from what I was before I started the competition. So I'm so satisfied. And I have had my coach accessible 24/7 via my phone. And she has been such an amazing support for me every day. I've asked her to check in with me every day to check on my calorie deficit. So she has been just messaging me every day, almost every day, except for the days that she's had off. She's said, you know, just sent me a little message, a voice message saying, so how are you doing on your calorie deficit? And so every day that has just clicked in my brain and reminded me to get started for the day with that mindset. Well, that has been Mrs. Impossible, episode 1 of season 2. I would love to hear from you guys. If you've listened to this and it's mattered to you, can you just let me know in whatever way you want? I want to know that it's mattered to you and that you've made it this far. Maybe you skipped to the end and you're just listening to this now. press rewind. But yeah, find me. 247friend.org/Mrs. Impossible or just MrsImpossible.com. M-I-S-S-E-S Impossible.com should just automatically forward to that page where you can see different ways to contact me. Contact me. Let me know what your thoughts are. All right. Thank you, guys. And I feel like I need a little thing before I go. Oh, yeah, I do. I have this beautiful, like, Mission Impossible, like, British voice guy who has this beautiful way of speaking. Actually, I made him from a piece of software say this. I don't even think he's a real person. It's just from software. And he has a little exit wish for you, and I will ask for that to be added to the end. So for now, here, oh, I gave him a name. He has a British name. And I've said it in the other episodes. Here's a goodbye from the British guy. And I don't remember his name, but here he is. Listen to what he says, because it's good.
It is now time to execute your mission. I do not wish you luck. I wish you unstoppable, pure-hearted desire, clarity, and action.